Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and today I'd like to feature a conversation I recently recorded with my colleague, Catherine Alford. Catherine is on the admissions team, and she is increasingly working with our executive format students and helping us recruit our next class of executive format students here at Darden, which is so exciting. We thought you might be interested in getting to know her a little bit better, so we invited her on the podcast to talk to her a little bit more about her career and her background and some of the initiatives that she is leading on behalf of the executive MBA program. Catherine, in particular, has put a lot of energy and thought into our women's recruitment initiatives for this cycle, and I think you'll enjoy hearing more about that work in particular. So without further ado, here is my conversation with my colleague in the admissions office, Catherine Alford. Catherine, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett.
So you've been at Darden for some time. For our loyal podcast listeners, share a little bit more about you and what you do here.
Okay. So again, I'm Catherine Alford. I came to UVA as an undergraduate student a few years ago. And after a few years in banking, I decided to make a career transition, like many of you, and came back to UVA to get my master's in education. After that, I worked at the UVA Alumni Association for a few years in their admissions liaison program before coming to Darden 10 years ago and joining the admissions team. I've been at Darden for about 10 years and have had a variety of roles. Most recently, I am living in the Arlington area and recruiting with our executive MBA program.
And one of the things that's been great to see is that you've really taken an initiative on women's recruitment with the executive MBA program, planning a lot of different events. You want to talk about some of the things that you have planned?
Yeah, sure. So I am taking on a role with the women in the executive MBA program. As a woman in my mid-career myself, I'm particularly passionate about empowering women and giving them more opportunities. And I strongly believe that this degree and this program does just that. So in an effort to increase the awareness about what we do through the program, we are hosting a number of dinners for prospective students who are women to meet other women in our program and alumni from our program. We'll be doing these dinners, but we're also doing coffee chats, knowing that different formats are in different days and different times will be better for different people. So trying to offer a diversity of options.
And you've also been able to connect a little bit with our network of executive women who we've had Amanda Richardson on the podcast. She's the leader of that group. Some of our listeners may know a little bit more about what they do. They've been a great partner for us in admissions. Talk about their reaction to sort of your outreach of saying like, hey, this is something that we're getting serious about. We want to work on. You know, will you help us?
Well, everybody wants to help, which is so encouraging for me starting this off. I wasn't sure what kind of a response I would get, and I was very excited to see that everyone supports this initiative and everybody wants to get involved in any way that they can. All of the women are excited to see more in their classroom. They want to build a support group around one another, helping each other while in the school and after school and strengthening relationships between current students as well as students and alumni.
Mm-hmm. They have been great about focusing on, you know, working with prospective students, obviously building a network within both classes, right? So, we have 2 years of executive format students going at any time, so building a network within both classes, but then also they're starting to reach out to alumni. So you see the full sort of circle of life.
Yeah, and I would say that all of these women are busy. I mean, that's kind of the nature of living in the D.C. area, but they're working. They're also going to school. Many have families. And so it's often overlooked the opportunity that you have to network with people that are in your same community. And so I appreciate just how intentional they are about making the effort to make sure they take advantage of this opportunity while they're in school.
Yeah, I think the truth for all of our, and many of our listeners may be wondering a little bit. I mean, if you're thinking about an executive MBA, you probably have a fair amount on your plate already professionally. Also personally, many of our students are moms and dads. Many of our students are traveling to participate in our program. About two-thirds of our students are in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia region. About a third are traveling, some from as far as Texas, New York, Chicago, occasionally on the West Coast. And so, yeah, juggling all these things. The thing that all the students will talk about is, and this is broader than just the women in the class, but particularly true for the women, in the network of executive women, everybody supports everybody, right? You're not on your own as you go through this.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about the program. The mindset of the Darden program is one of community, and it's all about helping one another get through the program. Nobody is stranded on an island. Everyone's there to help each other out. And so you see that within the women's network, and you also see that with the men supporting the women, women supporting the men, vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, everybody knows case method, you're going to have a little bit more reading to do. You're going to have, you know, more class prep. You get more out of the program for that reason. And I think all of our students would tell you that they chose this program because it would be engaging. It would be challenging. They knew at the end of it that they would have gotten a great experience. And something about knowing that you would be called on in class makes you feel a little bit more accountable in terms of getting prepared and ready.
Yeah, and the program is really designed to train, you know, managers, leaders, future CEOs or current CEOs, and anyone in that type of a leadership role is going to have more on their plate than they are able to manage on their own. A lot about being in one of those senior leadership roles is about learning to manage your time well and depend on other people, depend on your team, being able to take information that your team brings you and then present that to the next group that needs to hear it. And so I think a lot of the way this program is structured is to help, designed to help our students learn to depend on one another to get through.
Yeah, you certainly you could try to do it all on your own, but why would you do it that way? You have a learning team. You actually get two learning teams in the executive MBA program. All students have a domestic quarter learning team, so a little bit more detail than you're probably anticipating for a learning team discussion. But we have what are called domestic quarters, meaning there's no global trip offered in that quarter. So, for example, quarter one, the first quarter in the program is domestic quarter. You'll have a learning team for that quarter, and then global quarter, which is when the quarter when a global residency is offered, you'll have a different team whether based upon whether you're traveling or you're not traveling. And so you will always have this touch point of a learning team to go back to. It's typically, you know, 4 to 5 students, you know, working together and, you know, working to get ready for, you know, in-person residencies, but also distance classes. Students, when they talk about their schedule, there's regular touch points all throughout the week. So one of the things that I think is a little bit hidden in the program, you sort of think, oh, it's once a month weekend residency, you have online class, which are typically live, you know, a couple nights a week. How do you stay in touch with people? But it just happens sort of automatically.
Yeah. And also the way the world is now more digital and the way we use technology. I mean, if I think about my personal life, a lot of the way I stay in touch with my friends and family is through technology and through being online. And so it's fun seeing the students in class because when they're on these online courses, they're conversing with each other. They've got multiple screens popped up and they're talking about everything from what the professor just said to what the next case is coming up to what they had for dinner. Everyone's building relationships with each other simultaneously.
So you are obviously someone that has a great passion for recruiting and building relationships with prospective students. You know, what is it that's exciting to you about what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we spend so much time in our lives at work, and it's so important to feel like you are in a vocation where you're learning, where you're growing, where you're being challenged, and that you're going to a place in the morning that you're excited to go to. And I think there are too many people out there who don't have that passion and zeal for what they do. And I see so many people find that through this program. Students are finding just more time and passion for the things that they're really good at through the experience.
Yeah, there is this feeling of potential, right? If you're able to do this program and work and juggle all the other things that you have going on in your life, what else can you do?
Yeah, the student actually, the full sentence was, I had no idea how much I was capable of, and I had no idea how much my husband was capable of. It turns out he can bathe the children and put them to bed.
So you do learn about everybody in your life, and I think the program, you know, while you're in the program, forces students to prioritize, mm-hmm. right? Figure out what's important, but it also takes a village beyond your learning team, beyond all the people in class with you. Will be, you know, the other people at work who are helping while you have to step away for in-person residency, or the people at home who are helping you sort of balance everything that you're juggling there?
Yeah. And when recruiting, I frequently ask about partners because partners, this is a group decision. When you're in a program like this, you're going to need the support of your family and loved ones. So it's important that you're making the decision to do a program like this with the people that are closest to you.
Mm-hmm. So how do you help? I mean, so a lot of what we talk about with students is time and sort of balancing all this. Mm-hmm. And so how do you help frame that sort of thought process, you know, beyond just sort of like, oh, well, it's 15 to 20 hours a week and you have mm-hmm. the support network here. How do you help students think through sort of that time dimension and balancing?
Yeah, I mean, like in a perfect world, it's 15 to 20 hours a week. But, you know, we are experiencing life on life's terms and we don't exactly know what's coming down the pipeline on any given week. And so there are going to be weeks where you have more time to devote to school and there are going to be other weeks when you have less. And if you try to plan it and figure out exactly what it's going to look like, it's probably not going to work out that way. So I think a lot of the program is teaching you how to work with what you're given, and manage the time as it appears. And also, to our point earlier, just really learning how to leverage your team and other people to support you through the weeks.
Yeah, there's a learning curve with the program, no doubt about that. I think most students will tell you it probably takes anywhere from 4 to 8 months mm-hmm. to really figure out the schedule. Some people may figure it out more quickly than that, but mm-hmm. you know, part of it's the case method, right?
Yeah, we sign a lot of cases to read. And so I think I hear a lot of students talking about the tension between wanting to read every case all the way through because they find it really interesting, but also feeling like they cannot give all of their attention to every case. So having to figure out where they take support and where they conquer. And that is a kind of a something that you figure out as you go, not something you'll know right away.
Yeah, the other thing that you sometimes hear students talk about is that line that is, you know, I know this case really well versus I could probably spend 2 more hours on this. And that might not be the most effective use of my time. Trying to figure out, you know, what's required to be truly prepared for class and what's kind of overkill. That's something that I think only comes with a little bit of practice.
No, absolutely. And I think that that's also the way it is in the real world, just preparing for meetings and getting ready for work. There's always more that you can do. And so I think what Darden does a fabulous job of teaching and communicating is how to learn to add value to a conversation, to a meeting, without, having to do dot every I and cross every T. It's with the time that you have, how can I pull things out that are actually going to mean things to other people mm-hmm. and add value to the conversation, but not feeling like you have to know everything cover to cover.
Yeah. When you think about what students get when they come out of Darden, particularly for our executive MBA students, we get this question a lot, you know, sort of the case method, you know, what's the goal? I think you mentioned earlier we're training people who are leaders, managers, right, that enterprise perspective, but also fluency, right? So our program's likely not going to make you an accounting expert or operations expert or a marketing expert, but you're going to understand everything. You're also going to have a framework for learning, right?
So. Yeah. And I also have heard professors talk about, we're teaching you how to ask the right questions. So it's not about you being the accounting expert, but it's about you being able to look at a balance sheet and knowing which numbers matter and why and which questions you should be asking about.
Mm-hmm. So you are comfortable having a perspective, right? You know how to then take that information, synthesize it, and ultimately make a decision.
Yes, exactly. And understanding how one area of business impacts the other. Mm-hmm. So the decisions that we're making in accounting, how is that going to impact marketing and how is that going to impact the operations of the organization? Mm-hmm. So no longer thinking through the funnel through which you've come about, but rather flipping it upside down and looking at it as a CEO or manager would.
Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, we get a lot of questions about exactly what is the case method? You know, what is it, you know, what's point of it. I think that is the point of it, right? You are mm-hmm. sitting in class and you're thinking about that problem from that perspective, mm-hmm. right? As a C-suite leader.
Yeah. And we provide you with a lot of tools in order to help you get the numbers and come to good decisions. But Darden doesn't spend as much time going through how to use all the tools. Mm-hmm. They provide you the resources with how to learn how to use them. But the class time is actually spent discussing the decision, mm-hmm. which is a different approach.
Right. And, you know, as you may be thinking at home, gosh, I've been looking at different programs. They all kind of do this a little bit differently. I think this is the point of, you know, visiting, right? Spending some time sitting on a class. We also offer many opportunities to visit up in Roslyn, got, you know, sometimes bigger events on the weekends where you can come and sit in and participate in a mock class. But a class visit is an outstanding way to get a feel for the culture, but also the sort of pedagogy.
You know? Absolutely. I mean, I always say sit in on the class and see how you feel at the end. If you're at the edge of your seat and you feel like you can't wait to participate, or if you're like, this makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, I'd really love to grow in this area and find my voice and feel more confident in speaking up. If you have one of those two reactions, I would say Darden is definitely the place for you.
Yeah. You know, the thing about the case method is you do have to come ready to talk. It's a flipped classroom in some ways, right? There's been a lot of discussion about that from a pedagogical standpoint, right? You do a lot of the prep work in advance, right? You're going to be learning a lot of the technical information before the class. And then you come, as you note, to actually have a discussion. Of course, the faculty will occasionally break role and they'll say, hey, look, we're getting hung up on this technical idea. Let's talk about that a little bit more. That does happen. But great thing about the executive MBA program is, you know, the average student, probably somewhere between 10 to 12 years of work experience. We go from 5 to 30 plus years. There is probably someone, if not someone, more than one person in the class that has the relevant experience, is an expert in the area, has, you know, done something at work that very closely mirrors the actual problem.
And then many don't. And it was funny, I was talking to a student at First Coffee this morning, and he was saying that now that he is in the about two and a half months into the program, he said he's starting to realize that he doesn't have to have the perfect point crafted at every time. He said he said for the first month or two, I spent so much time trying to craft the perfect paragraph to say at just the right time, and it just never worked out that way. And now I realize if I'm going to get my class participation points, I just have to add value to the conversation and say something. And I think that that is so transferable to the real world and is going to make him a better leader going forward.
Yeah, it's sort of all about finding your voice, figuring out, you know, as you note, in the course of that conversation, you have a spectrum of experience, you have a spectrum of sort of expertise. You know, how do you contribute something? Even if you're not an accountant and you have accountants in the classroom, you can still add tremendous value.
Yeah, I was thinking about one student, and she came from what we call the poet background, did not have a quant background. And she said, Catherine, my highest grade is in accounting. And I said, you know nothing about accounting. How did you get your highest grade in accounting? And she said, because I asked good questions. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, you know, the class participation isn't about having the best comments, the best prepared speech, but more about just asking good questions, contributing.
Yeah. And class participation, even in the executive MBA program, does account for a good chunk of your grade. In many ways, I think it does incentivize students to show up and be ready. And the students talk about the value of that. I mean, it focuses you. When you have those classes coming up, you know that you're going to need to do your reading. You're going to know that you're going to be ready. But there are also times where, hey, you're not able to get quite where you want to be. And so that's where your learning team and all these other people come in. But, you know, just knowing that you're going to be called on does just bring that focus.
Yeah. And not everybody is going to nail every comment either. Yeah. Like, everyone kind of flounders a couple of times, and it's to be expected. And I don't know what the right word is, but once you not mess up, but once you say something that's kind of like you feel like wasn't your best, and you realize that the worst thing that happened was nothing, and that everyone is in the same boat, it gives you more confidence to go out there in the real world and not be as afraid to fall down because you realize you can get through it and it's not the end of the world.
And people are so very supportive. I think you very quickly realize another reason why you should come visit a class is that it's a comfortable space, right? Everybody knows that everyone else is taking a risk just by being. I mean, it's comfortable, but it's also uncomfortable because, you know, to speak up, to share a perspective, to be vulnerable in that way, you have to have that trust. In the very beginning of the program, the faculty make it very clear that trust is essential for the learning process and experience here. So you have a whole bunch of people who have bought into that sort of idea. So Catherine, one final sort of question here. You know, why are you passionate about, you know, you think about, you recruit for a lot of different programs. You work full-time, you do MSBA as well, you future year scholars. You know, what do you like about working with executive format students?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, they're my peers. So that's always fun to get to work with your peers. But also just because of the number of people that I've come across who are, you know, 7 plus years into their career, there are some skills that they feel like they are lacking that they need in order to grow and develop in their roles. And they aren't convinced they're going to get it very quickly in the workforce. It's exciting for me to be able to talk to them about this program, an opportunity for them to reach their goals, to get to where they want to go. Sometimes students aren't are looking more for a transition, and we can help them with that as well. So I think what motivates me is just the opportunity to help people find greater satisfaction with their work.
Mm-hmm. Well, Catherine, thank you for being on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
And that was my conversation with my admissions colleague, Catherine Alford. Of course, as always, if you have questions, comments, suggestions, requests, we can be reached by email at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, thanks for listening.